the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First line, Krishna in big letters, and in the next line, a small letter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text this verse, Krishna, 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 He. Krishna, 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 He. Krishna, 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 Raksha, Ma. Krishna, 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 Pahi, Ma. Krishna, Kesava. Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Pahi Mam. Next line, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshamam. While attempting to write this book, Krishna, first of all, let me offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master, Om Vishnupad, 108 Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Then let me offer my respectful obeisances to the ocean of mercy, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, in the role of a devotee, just to distribute the highest principles of devotional service, beginning from the country known as Gauradesh, West Bengal, as I belong to the Madhva Gauriya Sampradaya. Therefore, I must offer my respectful obeisances to the disciplic succession known by the above name. And this Madhva Gauriya Sampradaya is also known as Brahma Sampradaya, because originally the disciplic succession begins from Brahma. Brahma instructed, this says Narada. Narada instructed Vyasadeva. Then Vyasadeva instructed to Madhvamuni or Madhyacharya. The Madhavendra Puri, the origin of Madhva Gauriya Sampradaya belonged to the Madhvacharya disciplic succession. It was in the sannyas order of life and had many renowned disciples, just like Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, and Isharapuri. Isharapuri happened to be the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let us offer our respectful obeisances to Isharapuri along with Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu, Sri Bhash Pandit, and Sri Gadadhar Pandit. After that, let us offer our respectful obeisances to Prabhu Damodar, who acted throughout as a private secretary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then let us offer our respectful obeisances to Sri Vasudev Datta, and constant attendant of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Govinda, and constant friend of Lord Chaitanya Mukunda, Murari Gupta. Then let us offer our respectful obeisances to place six Goswamis of Vrindavan, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. Krishna has explained himself in the Bhagavad Gita about himself that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and whenever there is discrepancies in the regulative principles of man's religious life, and there is a prominence of irreligious activities, that time Lord Sri Krishna appears on this earthly planet. In other words, when Lord Sri Krishna appeared, there was a necessity of minimizing the load of sinful activities accumulated on this planet or in this universe. In the affairs of the material creation, Lord Mahavishnu, a plenary portion of Krishna, is in charge. Actually, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that the Lord appears when there is discrepancies of religious principles and prominence of irreligious activities, that incarnation of the Lord emanates from Mahavishnu or Vishnu. Mahavishnu is the original cause of material creation, and from him expands Garbhodak Sai Vishnu, and then Kirodak Sai Vishnu, and generally all the incarnations appearing within this material universe are a plenary expansion from Kirodak Sai Vishnu. Therefore, the business of minimizing the overload sinful activities of this heart does not belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. But when Krishna appears, along with him, all the Vishnu expansions, they also join with him. As such, Krishna's different expansions, namely Narayan, the quadruple expansion, namely Vasudeva, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, as well as different incarnation, just like partial plenary expansion of Matsavata, incarnation of fish, and other Jugavata, or incarnation for the millennium, and Mannantaravata, incarnation of Manus, all of them combined together appear with the body of Krishna. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is a complete whole. As such, all plenary expansions and incarnations do always live with him. Therefore, the conclusion is, when Krishna appeared, Lord Vishnu was also with him. Actually, in the incarnation of Krishna, the business of killing the demons were done by the Vishnu portion of Krishna. Krishna actually appears to demonstrate his Vrindavan pastime to attract the fortunate conditioned souls, inviting them back to home, back to Godhead. The affairs of killing the demons are simultaneous activities only done by the Vishnu portion of Krishna. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, 20th verse, there is a statement of the Lord's abode, wherein it is stated that there is another eternal nature, a spiritual sky, which is transcendental to this manifested and non-manifested matter. The manifested world, we can see so many stars and planetary systems, the sun, moon, etc. But beyond this, there is a non-manifested portion which is not approachable by anyone in this body. And beyond that non-manifested matter, there is spiritual kingdom. That kingdom is described in the Bhagavad Gita as the supreme and eternal, never annihilated. This material nature is subjected to repeated creation and annihilation. But that part, the spiritual nature, remains as it is eternally. Next para. The supreme abode of the personality of Godhead, Krishna, is also described in the Brahma Sanghita as the abode of Chintamani. That abode of Lord Krishna, known as Goloka Vrindavan, is full of palaces made of touchstone. There the trees are called desire trees, and the cows are called Suravi, and the Lord is being served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. He, whose name is Govinda, the primal Lord and the cause of all causes. There the Lord plays his flute, his eyes like lotus petals, and the collar of his body like a beautiful cloud, on his head a peacock feather. So attractive is he that he excels thousands of cupids. Lord Krishna gives only a little hint in the Gita about his personal abode, which is the supermost planet in the spiritual kingdom. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually, Krishna appears with his whole paraphernalia and demonstrates his activity in Vrindavan. And then at Mathura, and then at Dwarka, the subject matter of this book will comprise all such activities gradually. Next paragraph. The family in which Krishna appeared is called the Jadu dynasty. This Jadu dynasty belongs to the family descending from Soma, the god in the moon planet. There are two different families, Kshatriya families of royal order, one descending from the king of the moon planet, and the other descending from the king of the sun planet. So, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, generally, because he has to establish religious principles or life of righteousness, generally, he appears in the Kshatriya family. Kshatriya family is supposed to be protector of the human race. That is the Vedic system. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he appeared as Lord Ramachandra, he appeared in the family descending from the sun god known as Raghuvansha. And when he appeared as Lord Krishna, he did so in the family of Jadavansa. There is a long list of these kings of this Jadavansa in the 9th canto, 24th chapter, and all of them were great powerful kings. Krishna's father's name was Vasudeva, descending from the Jada dynasty. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not belong to any dynasty of this material world, but the family in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears becomes famous by His grace. The example is given just like sandalwood is produced in the states of Malaya. Sandalwood has its own qualification, but because accidentally such wood is mostly produced in the states of Malaya, sandalwood is known as Malaya sandalwood. Similarly, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, belongs to everyone. But as the sun rises from the eastern side, although there are so many sides, similarly, by His own choice, the Lord appears in some family, and that family becomes famous as sandalwood is called Malayan sandalwood. As already explained above, that when Krishna appears, all His plenary expansions also appears with Him. So, Krishna appeared along with Balaram, who is known as His elder brother, but Balaram is the origin of Sankarsan of the quadruple expansion. Balaram is also plenary expansion of Krishna. In this book, attempt will be made how Krishna appeared in the family of the Jodhu dynasty and what was his transcendental characteristics. These things are very vividly described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically 10th canto, and the basic principle of this book will be Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Next, the pastimes of the Lord are generally heard and released by liberated souls. Those who are conditioned souls, they are interested to read stories and fictions of the material activities of some common man. But the similar stories and similar narrations are found in Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas describing the transcendental activities of the Lord, but conditioned soul, they prefer to study ordinary narrations, but they are less interested in the matter of studying the narrations of the pastimes of the Lord, Krishna. But still, the description of the pastimes of Lord Krishna is so nice that they are relishable by all classes of men. There are three classes of men in this world. One class of man is called liberated souls, and the other class of man is called persons trying to be liberated. And the third class of men is called the materialistic man. So either one is a liberated soul, or one is trying to be liberated, or even one is a grossly materialistic man. For everyone, the pastimes of Lord Krishna is worth studying. So far the liberated souls are concerned, they have no more any interest in any materialistic activities. The impersonalist philosophy that after liberation one becomes inactive, there is no more anything to be heard, that does not mean that a liberated person is actually inactive. A living soul cannot be inactive either in conditioned state or in liberated state. Just like a diseased person in diseased condition is also active, but his activities are all painful. Similarly, the same person when he is freed from the diseased condition, he is active, but in a healthy condition, his activities are completely different. They are not painful, but they are full of pleasure. Similarly, the impersonalists only seek to get free from the disease conditional activities, but they have no information of the activities in healthy condition. So those who are actually liberated and in full knowledge, they take to the activities of Krishna or spiritual activities. So it is essential for the persons who are actually liberated to hear about the pastimes of Krishna. They relish it. That is the relishable subject matter in liberated condition. So far as persons who are trying to be liberated, they also, if they hear such narrations as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, their path of liberation becomes very clear. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam. By studying this book, one becomes fully conscious about the position of Lord Krishna, and when he is fixed up in the lotus feet of Krishna, he understands the narrations of Krishna described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya has therefore advised us that those who are actually following the footprints of Lord Chaitanya, their business is to propagate Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha means a narration about Krishna. So Krishna Katha, there are two Krishna Kathas. The Sanskrit meaning of Krishna Katha means a narration spoken by Krishna and narrations about Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita is the narration or the philosophy or the science of God spoken by Krishna himself. So that is also Krishna Katha. And Srimad Bhagavatam is narration about the activities and transcendental pastimes of Krishna. So that is also Krishna Katha. So these Krishna Kathas should be spread all over the world. That is the order of Lord Chaitanya. Because the conditioned souls who are suffering under the pangs of material existence, if they take to Krishna Katha, then their path of liberation will be open and clear. The purpose of presenting this book, Krishna, is primarily to induce people to understand Krishna or Krishna Katha, and thereby they become freed from the material bondage. And so far, the most materialistic persons are concerned, for them also this Krishna Katha or narration about Krishna will be very much appealing, because Krishna's pastimes with the gopis are exactly like loving affairs of the young boys and girls within this material world. Actually, the sex feeling of the human society is original. It is not unnatural, because the same sex feeling is there in the original personality of Godhead. The pleasure potency is Srimati Radharani. Actually, the attraction of sex or loving appears on the basis of sex feeling is the original feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we, the conditioned souls, being the part and parcel of the Supreme, we have got such feelings, but they are in a perverted, minute condition. Therefore, this material world, who are after this sex life, they also, when they hear about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, they will relish another transcendental pleasure, although it appears to be materialistic. The advantage will be that such a materialistic person will gradually be elevated to the spiritual platform. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that the pastimes of Lord Krishna of the gopis, if somebody hears from authorities and submissively, then the result will be that he will be promoted to the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord, and his material disease, a lust within the heart, will be completely vanquished. Therefore, on the whole, this Krishna Katha or this book, Krishna, will be equally appealing for the liberated souls, for persons who are trying to be liberated, as well as to the gross conditioned materialistic persons. So, according to the statement of Maharaj Parikshit, who heard about Krishna from Sukhdev Goswami, it is concluded that every human being, never mind in whatever condition of life he is staying, this book, Krishna, or this subject matter of Krishna Katha, will be equally applicable. Surely, every one of them will appreciate to the first magnitude. But see, Maharaj Parikshit has also warned that persons who are simply engaged in killing animals and killing themselves, they may not be very much attracted with this book, Krishna or Krishna Katha. In other words, ordinary persons who are following the regulative principles of scriptures, moral principles, generally they may be in any condition as stated above, will be certainly attracted. But persons who are killing themselves, the exact word used in the Srimad Bhagavatam is called pasugna. Pasugna means killing the animals or killing oneself. Persons who are not self-realized, not interested in the matter of spiritual realization or self-realization, they are killing themselves. They are committing suicide because this human form of body is especially meant for this purpose, self-realization, but neglecting this important part of his activity. If one is simply wasting time like animal, he is also pasugna, and the other one were actually killing animals. That means persons who are animal eaters. There are different kinds of animal eaters, even dog eaters. They are engaged in killing animals in so many ways, hunting, slaughter house. Such persons cannot be interested in Krishna Katha. Next word. King Parikshit was especially interested in hearing Krishna Katha because he knew that his forefathers, his grandfather, Arjuna, was victorious in the great battle of Kurukshetra on account of Krishna only. Clearly, even if we take this material world as a battlefield of Kurukshetra, that is, everyone is struggling hard for existence in this battlefield, and in every step there is danger. So, according to Maharaj Parikshit, the battlefield of Kurukshetra was just like a vast ocean full of dangerous animals. His grandfather Arjuna had to fight with such great heroes as Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and many others. They are not ordinary fighters. Just like Timingal. Such personalities have been compared as Timingal fish. Timingal fish is in the ocean which can swallow up the big whales very easily. Similarly, these great fighters in the battle of Kurukshetra could swallow many Arjuns very easily. But it was simply due to Krishna's mercy that Arjuna was able to kill all of them. And the comparison is just like one can cross over the pitiful water impressed by the hoof of a calf. There is no exertion in jumping over such a small pit. Similarly, Arjuna, by the grace of Krishna, was able to jump over the ocean of battle of Kurukshetra very easily. So, Maharaj Parikshit was very much appreciative of Krishna's activities, and for so many reasons. Not only his grandfather was saved by Krishna, but he was also saved by Krishna. Because after finishing the battle of Kurukshetra, actually all the members of the Kuru dynasty, namely the sons, grandsons and grandchildren on the other side of Dhritarashtra, and this side also Pandavas and their sons and grandsons, they are fighting, but only excepting the five brothers, everyone died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Maharaj Parikshit was at that time within the embryo of his mother. His father, Abhimanyu, son of Arjuna, also died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and he was posthumous child. But when he was within the womb of his mother, there was Brahmastra released by Ashwatthama to kill this child in the embryo. And when Parikshit Maharaj's mother, Uttara, approached Krishna, seeing the danger of abortion, Krishna entered the womb of Uttara and saved Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit's another name is Vishnuratha, because within the womb he was saved by Vishnu, Lord Vishnu himself. Next one. Thus, everyone in any condition of life should be interested to hear about Krishna and his activities, because he is the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead. He is all-pervading. He is living within everyone's heart, inside, and he is living outside as in his universal form. Still, as it is described in the Bhagavad Gita, he appears as he is in the human society, just to invite them to his transcendental abode, back to home, back to Godhead. So everyone should be interested to know about Krishna, and this book is presented with this purpose, that people may know about Krishna and be perfectly benefited in his human form of life. Next time, in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, see, Baladev is described as the son of Rohini, another wife of Vasudev. Vasudev, the father of Krishna, had 16 wives. Out of them, Rohini, the mother of Baladev, is one. But Baladev is also described as the son of Devaki. So how he could be son of both Devaki and Rohini was one of the constraints of Maharaj Parikshit to Sukhdev Goswami, and that will be answered in due course. Another question of Maharaj Parikshit to Sukhdev Goswami was, why Sri Krishna, just after his appearance, the son of Vasudev, was immediately carried to the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, in Gokula. He also wanted to know the activities of Lord Krishna while he was in Vrindavan, as well as while he was in Mathura. Besides that, he was especially inquisitive to know why Krishna killed his maternal uncle, Kansa. Kansa, being the brother of his mother, he was very intimate superior to Krishna. So how is it that he killed Kansa? His question was also, how many years Lord Krishna remained in the human society along with his activities like a human being? How many years he reigned over the kingdom of Dwarka, and how many wives he accepted there? Kshatriya kings are generally accustomed to accept more than one wife. For Parikshit Maharaj inquired about Krishna also, how many wives he accepted. Actually, the subject matter of this book, Krishna, is answering of the questions made by Maharaj Parikshit to Sukhdev Goswami. Example of Maharaj Parikshit and Sukhdev Goswami is unique. Maharaj Parikshit is the right person to hear about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, and Sukadeva Goswami is the right person to describe it. If fortunately such combination is made possible, then Krishna Katha or narration of Krishna becomes immediately spiritualized and people benefit out of such conversation to the highest possible degree. So Parikshit Maharaj was listening to Sukadeva Goswami at the point of his death. This narration of Krishna was presented by Sukadeva Goswami when Parikshit Maharaj was prepared to give up his body, and he was fasting on the bank of the Ganges. So in order to assure Sukadeva Goswami that in the matter of hearing Krishna Katha, he won't feel tired, he expressed very frankly that hunger, thirst may give trouble to the ordinary persons or unto me, but the topics of Krishna is so nice that one can continue to hear about him without any feeling of tiredness on account of being situated in transcendental position. In other words, it is understood that if one is fortunate enough to hear about Krishna Katha very seriously, as Maharaj Parikshit was hearing, namely, he was expecting death at any moment. So similarly, every one of us should be conscious of our death at any moment. This life is not assured at all. Any time we can die, it does not matter whether I am young man or old man. So before death takes place, we must be fully Krishna conscious. That is
Krishna tape number two. King Parikshit was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami at the point of his death, and when he expressed his untiring desire to hear about Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami was very much pleased. Sukadeva Goswami was the greatest of all Bhagavat reciter. Thus he began to speak about Krishna and his pastimes, which are all cluster of inauspiciousity, this age of Kali. Sukadeva Goswami thanked the king Parikshit for his eagerness to hear about Krishna, and he encouraged him by saying, "My dear king, your intelligence is very decisive, because you have so much eagerness to hear about the pastimes of Krishna." Informed Maharaj Parikshit that hearing and chanting of the pastimes of Krishna is so auspicious that such a process purifies three classes of men, namely, one who recites about the transcendental topics of Krishna, one who hears such topics, and one who inquires about him, just like the Ganges water, which is emanated from the toe of Lord Vishnu, purifies the three worlds, namely the upper, the middle, and the lower planetary system.